Hey friends, you know, here at Hansel Minutes, we really appreciate our sponsors. And I'm here with JD Trask, CEO of Raygun. How's it going, sir?
It's going very well, Scott. How are you?
Very well. I want to learn about, now that Xamarin became MAUI and App Center, Microsoft App Center, is not a thing anymore, where are people going?
It's a great question. So we've long time been supporters of Xamarin since very early on. We're helping a lot of customers migrate onto MAUI with Raygun. And we also provide the ability for folks to see all of the diagnostics about their mobile application within Raygun. So it's a great replacement for a lot of what people were using App Center for.
Very cool. So Raygun is a place that you can go if you were an App Center user. You can check out raygun.com for a 14-day free trial and use the code Hanselman for half-price monitoring for your first month. Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, I'm chatting with Dante Lex, the CEO of Onboard Base. We're going to chat about their new product, SecureLog. How's it going, sir?
Going well. How's your day going?
Very well. It's always fun to talk to people on the Hansel Minutes podcast. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting about the way that you are talking about your products, if you go to Onboard Base, you come out right and say it. I'm going to read the homepage of your website. If HashiCorp Vault was simpler, priced right, and just worked. That's very bold. Like, why come right out and say it that you're not a fan of HashiCorp Vault so much so that you made your own thing?
So I've used HashiCorp extensively, and I actually love the product. It's a really good product. But while using it, it felt like it was built for enterprise teams who are very late in the stage, or a team of security engineers, or you need to hire a bunch of security engineers, et cetera, right? And I absolutely wanted an alternative to HashiCorp, but it's so complicated to use that sometimes you just either shy away from it or just keep managing secrets locally. And so right off the bat, we knew that what we wanted to do was be a better product or be a better version than HashiCorp Vault, right? So remove all the noise altogether and just give you exactly what you not want at point in time. And so this particular positioning has actually helped us a lot with gaining a whole lot of customers, because people who are looking for a secret management alternative already know about HashiCorp Vault or have used them in the past, don't like them. And we're like, okay, what's the best way to position us, right? You're looking for a simple alternative for HashiCorp Vault. So that's what we are to begin with.
Okay, that makes sense. So you're using the familiarity that the community has with HashiCorp Vault and then calling out immediately, these are the things we do better.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's has worked like magic, because most of the customers that come to us, we don't have to explain a whole lot of things to them. They already know what they're looking for, and they almost want to get started immediately.
Interesting. It's a bold marketing strategy. I'm curious if anyone from HashiCorp or anyone has been turned off by that.
No, actually, they've not reached out to us, though we have seen some accounts from HashiCorp create accounts on Onboard Base, probably just testing it out. But nothing else has actually happened within that space. So it's competitive, and I believe they are doing really well to really be bothered.
Yeah. You know, I had a startup founder on last week, or I'm not sure, depending on when the shows come out, and she is making a brand new product, but it's clearly entering a space where there's big players. And one of the words that I used when I was describing her product was audacity. And I think that really good founders, really good startups have audacity. They have this sense of like, you know, I can do it better than that giant company over there. And I asked her the same thing I'm going to ask you. It's like, where does that come from? And what does that feel like? Because I love that.
Well, it's one is passion. Mm. And also you felt the pain so much that you wished that what you're doing existed in a different way, right? Mm. You've probably used those other alternatives extensively, but nothing felt like it was built for you, right? Nothing felt like it was built for you. And you're like, oh, you know what? Why can't I build something that just fits my needs? not something someone imagined is a solution for me. And so when you go off that back building in that sense, it gives you the pride, sense of pride, and the audacity to say, okay, yeah, I built something way better than the alternative out there, and this was built with me in mind.
Right, I like that. And in this case, with me in mind, you're the CEO, you are basically counting on your expertise in the space.
Yes.
So that the other people are also you. Like, you had experience in this space before putting secrets management, encryption management systems in place. You'd used HashiCorp extensively.
Yeah, I've used HashiCorp extensively. I've had to deal with a data breach as one of the companies I've worked at.
Oh,
I've
wow.
had to manage secrets on Notion, on Google Docs. Just
oh, God. Yeah, no.
Pretty interesting. So I found several ways to manage it in the past, and nothing quite was quite right, right? And the closest I could get was HashiCorp Vault, and even that was a hustle.
Okay. So HashiCorp Vault is identity-based secrets and encryption management system. Onboard-based SecureLog by Onboard-Base is similar. This is a problem that everyone has. I mean, you just called out that you worked at a company that kept secrets in Notion. Like, it's like putting your password in OneNote. Why do people do this so wrong? Why would anyone think a text file called passwords.txt was a secrets management solution? And why do they start wrong?
First reason is convenience, right? Convenience is the mother of all evil, right? Because it's so convenient to share these things via a note, a text file, or keep them in a note file. It feels right, like it's right within your workspace. So you just keep constantly doing these things without the consequences that are going to obviously come. It's a data breach just waiting to happen. It's just waiting. Right, it may never happen but most people, especially most companies, they tend to experience the data breaches, and people never change this habit over time. They just keep putting in text files, sharing it on Slack, doing it on Notion, and you find ways to solve your own problem even if the tools does not exist, right? And it's a pandemic. How I say this? It's a way of thinking. It's a lifestyle for people to do these things this way, right?
Yeah. Pandemic, though. It's a virus that has caught everyone, and they're all just storing their passwords wrong, and now we have to get them the cure.
Yeah. And first, you need to also get them to care about it, because a lot of people don't care. You see, people assume developers are secure by default. That is a wrong notion. In fact, developers are far from being secure by default. They just mostly want to go about their creativity and do things that they are paid to do or they want to do, right? The security is more at the back of their mind than anything else, right? And so to bring the solution to them, you need to build something that fits them particularly, right? Not something that they need to go through three different people just to use the solution. And so building Onboard Base, I built particularly for developers first, because I'm a developer myself. I needed to solve that itch. I needed to make sure that it was as convenient as using Slack to share secrets for me.
Okay, so that's really interesting, because the whole concept of a, let's just use password managers as an example, right? Like, everyone's using 1Password or, you know, different tools like that. We're slowly starting to normalize password managers for like mom and dad. Like iOS 18 added a new app called Passwords in an attempt to get everyone to start putting their unique passwords in a password manager. And a good one doesn't show you your password.
Yes.
And you talk about this in Onboard Base. If you go to app.onboardbase.com, you actually call it the zero knowledge protocol. You don't want, like, I don't even want to see the thing, right? I want to see asterisks. I want to see stars. So, you know, if mom and dad, non-technical parent, can go into the iOS 18 app, hit copy or hit autofill, even if they were kidnapped, they could not be, you know, told to give up their passwords. And you want to be the same thing in Onboard Base. Like, you don't even want people to think about it. However, you want it to be easy to share. So how do you have both? You want convenience. Hey, paste it into Slack, but also no one should ever see or know about a secret.
Yeah. So, it's, it's the race to balance speed and security, right? Mm. So what we have done was, you know what? We've put this layers of controls into onboard base that particular to how teams work. So if you give an engineer, say, access to local development, they won't even be able to see the secrets in local development, but they'll be able to work with it. So we built it to actively inject those secrets real time directly where they are working, whether it's in their local machine or it's in their server. So it's injected real time. They don't need to think about it. They can just actively work with it, right? Because once they begin to be able to view those secrets, then you almost cannot control what happens around how they share it, right? So we built in several different layers of encryption into onboard base that makes it so easy for you not to want to share any secret at all. And if you choose or decide to share it, we have something we call credentials.new that you put the key inside, encrypts it, and it just shares a link to the person, right? So that link is where they'll view it. Once it's viewed, it's deleted after 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, right? So now, if you're going to share something sensitive, it's a conscious decision you have made, not this, that the solution doesn't exist for it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, friends, as I spend the next couple of months learning more and more about AI, in the middle of the show, I'm going to pause for a second and I'm going to bring in Leinvert van Doorn, Senior VP of Engineering at Qualcomm, to help me understand more about what's going on. Leinvert, at Qualcomm, when you came in, you needed to shift the culture to an open one, and you wrote a manifesto to help people get their heads right. Talk to me about that manifesto.
Yeah, so it feels like every big company needs to go through this kind of culture change to become more open and to adopt certainly open source. And so, yes, I wrote a manifesto where I basically pointed out that our traditional business model, which is around cell phones, which has made us extremely successful, right, doesn't really work or doesn't scale to our new strategy where we're diversifying. We're addressing XR, we're addressing PC, we're addressing IoT, we're addressing auto. Key thing about all these new diversified businesses is that open source is a critical part of that business model. And so we needed to adopt that and we needed to embrace it. And that's basically, it was very well received by my C-suite, and it's very actively something that we're engaging in. So a lot of the open source engagements that you see from a lot of Qualcomm developers, it sort of goes back to, it's a continuation, really. I shouldn't say that I all started it, but I certainly put the emphasis on it. It's like, hey, this is critical and it needs to happen. I'm pretty excited about that.
I love it. Open first, community first. A lot of great stuff happening at Qualcomm. You can learn more at qualcomm.com/developer. I've heard the term secret ops, like DevOps, but secret ops. And I see that a lot on your site and your docs, but I hadn't heard it said a lot. Is that a thing? Is secret ops a thing, or are we making it a thing?
So I think we made it a thing. So it's secret ops, dev secret ops. We kind of made it a thing, and it's also for the audience we are trying to sell to, right? So they understand this language when you say secret ops or when you say dev secret ops, they understand it, and it helps them become way more familiar than they are with it, right? So to sell to devs, you need to speak their language. That's kind of where it comes from, really.
I see. So onboard base is this secret ops infrastructure. So environment variable config, secret credentials, like anything, whether it be local devs need access to something or in prod. You don't want anyone to ever see the secrets, but you want them to be able to share. But I assume you also need to be able to rotate secrets, like secrets change. If it's a personal access token, you might, like we recently at Microsoft have like shortened the amount of time. You used to make a personal access token, it would live forever. And now they'll spin them every day or every 7 days. Do you also help with that life cycle, that security life cycle?
Yes. So we do this particularly for API tokens, right? You can auto-rotate API tokens, connection strings like DB credentials. You can set time limits to them as well. So do you want this person to use it, say, 100 times or 30 days, right? So once it reaches those limits, it automatically expires or it's automatically rotated. It's actually very key for development because developers are actively working, and especially teams that hire contractors, you need this level of safety to auto-rotate even in your servers, right? So we are saying that, you know what, no matter what happens, even if you get a data breach, right, there's hardly anything that they are going to find in your servers to begin with. And even if it's there, it's already auto-rotated based on the credentials or the limit you set, right? So we don't want you to think about security too much. We just want you to actively build what you're building and leave the security to us in that sense.
Right. Secure. Yeah. Secure by default. And as long as they're using your stuff correctly, they will be successful. We use this term at my company called the pit of success. So even if you fall into the pit of success.
Yes.
You know, even messing up, you can still succeed. And that, I think, is a good idea. Now, when I think about HashiCorp Vault, I usually think about Kubernetes. And when I think about safeguarding confidential data in dynamic systems like Kubernetes, is this primarily for Kubernetes, or could I do it in any old web app? Or what about mobile apps and other apps that are in different environments?
The beautiful thing about Onboard is you can use it for anything, anywhere at all, right? It's built to fit into almost any systems. We've hardly found any system that it doesn't fit into. It's why we have a very extensive documentation and cover a whole lot of frameworks, a whole lot of integrations across several different cloud platforms. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're using secret or managing secrets anywhere, Onboard Base will work for you, right? And we've made it possible for you to easily use Onboard Base as a drop-in replacement for your environment variables anywhere that you use them.
Okay. So are environment variables now kind of like the primary way to have secrets, like basically dynamically injected environment variables within an individual process space are the primary way to have secrets be shared these days?
Most people use environment variables locally, ENV files locally, and that's how they then share these files across teammates, right? Copy and pasting it almost everywhere, right? You have environment variables in your servers, local machine, you have it almost everywhere, right? That's how most secrets are injected or used in cloud platforms, right? We want to replace that ENV file completely. We don't want you to maintain it at all because there's almost no need for it, right? Once you are using Onboard Base, you don't need ENVs anywhere at all, right? Onboard Base just injects them real time, and you can basically auto-rotate them as we've previously said as well.
Okay. So .env files are really a convention. Like web developers and developers in general have just decided, hey, password.txt is too obvious. We'll just put all of our name value pairs in a .env file. And you're saying your goal is to completely eliminate them. I should not have ENV files existing. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, it's a bad idea, but I can understand why people still maintain it, because one, personally, I don't know why they still use it, but if I see it somewhere, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's the convention everyone is used to. Most people don't want to change how they currently work, right? So they just use the .env files and get on with their work, right? So the average developer will start a project and have .env files in their project, right? If you go through most repos, you see they still have the .env.example file for people to easily start up those projects. Right. Mm. So, yeah, it's a convention that we have all agreed on to use going forward.
Right. But then people will take they'll use the environment variable injection that their cloud provides. So, for example, my secrets for this podcast are stored in Azure, and I go into the Azure environment and I use these global environment variables, which seems like a kind of a shotgun approach in the sense of every process everywhere that's involved in any way with my app knows those global environment variables. So ENV files are very static and they sit there and probably an insecure thing, but then global environment variables seems like a big deal. Does Onboard Base fit somewhere in the middle with like a principle of least knowledge? I only want some processes to know some secrets, not all the processes to know all the secrets.
Yes. So on Onboard Base, you can create several different environments, production, local, development, and then you point those specific environments to where they are needed, right? So production will probably point to your servers, while local will point to any developer working locally. right? So you can create service tokens to give access to particular projects and secrets for any service that you want them to give access to. So we give as much information as needed. We don't give more than that, right? At least from the admin point of view. And something we also have gone ahead to do is say, okay, you know what? We also revoke device tokens, right? So if developers have, so when you install Umbrebase on your local machine, it registers a token on your device for you to get access to your team's secrets, right? So now when a teammate leaves, you can easily go there, revoke those particular devices, or say teammate's system got compromised. You can easily just go there, revoke the devices and get on with whatever it is you're doing. You don't need to worry about it anymore. And that system would not have access to your secrets anymore, completely.
Mm. And then on the usage side, once you started using it, you might accidentally leak a secret though, like you've gone and received it from Umbrebase, but then maybe I'm doing a console.log, or it's in a log in my build environment, or it's, you know, copy-pasted somewhere. How would I scan or prevent those secrets from leaking?
That's where secure log comes in, right? So we thought about how do people use secret today before they need secret managers, right? They use secret via their EMV files or in their project. And something no one wants is a secret leakage. They don't want those secrets to get into their client or wherever it is. So we built secure log to go into your project, your console.log files, your RSC components, your reverse server components, and make sure that it scans and marks those secrets if you want that, or removes them, right? So we show you all the places that the secrets have been used or leaked. You can either mask it. So masking sometimes, maybe some secrets are showing up in user logs, right? So you might not want to remove them. You just easily mask them, right? And this makes sure that your secrets remain secrets, right? Mm. So whether you want it there or not, our goal with secure log is to let you know, hey, this is what is happening. Do you want it to remain secret or not, or do you want to remove it?
Okay. And is secure log injecting itself in? Like, I see the sample code for it is just literally new secure log, and then all my console.logs are being seen. They're somehow being going through Umbrebase in secure log's environment. How are you seeing those secrets and preventing them from showing up?
So it completely scans any sensitive information that you log into the console. Right. So it's watching out for a couple of console related tags like console log, console.error. We scan those particular commands or objects to make sure that no secrets are being leaked. Once you notice anything sensitive, we mask it immediately and show you, hey, this is being leaked here. What do you want to do? We try not to be intrusive at all or disrupt your flow. We just let you know this is happening. What do you want? What's the next course of action? And for you to take the next course of action, we also provide what you need to do.
Interesting. Does that work on the client side as well? Can I prevent that from showing up in F12 tools?
Yes. So with secure log, so sometimes I've seen where developers, mostly junior developers, right? They mistakenly log secrets in the console and it makes it to production, right? Secure log will make sure that those secrets, whether they get into your build or not, will never make it to production, right? They will only stay where they are, which is locally. They'll never make it to production. You can prevent them from, it's like someone mentioned to me that secure log is probably going to make people lazy because they know secure log is going to handle it. So they might just be negligent and log things as they want. I'm like, well, I'm assuming they are going to do that already. And that's where we come.
You're assuming negligence and bad behavior. You're assuming sloppiness. So at every level here, you're assuming that the developer is going to do the wrong thing. But you're going to, again, I come back to this idea of the pit of success. They're going to keep falling and stumbling and you're going to catch them. Yes. And they will fall into the pit of success.
Yes. You need to assume that mistakes are going to happen. There's no two ways about it. They are going to happen, whether I like it or not. The best thing you can do is get ahead of that.
That's cool. But you're also you're getting so far ahead of it is that you really want to prevent these things from ever escaping in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know how people have dealt with data breaches, but having dealt with one, I hated the feeling. Oh my God, it's so frustrating because everything is coming down 1,001 times all at you all at once. And you're wondering, what do you do? How do you mitigate this? And then at the aftermath, you think of what could have been done better, right? Yeah. And
sinking feeling. Like, this is a very sickening feeling in your chest where you go, no.
Oh, man, it's oh no, 10 times. Like, so yeah, it's insane. And you don't want teams to go through that because most times you lose money, you lose credibility, right? A lot of teams don't come back from data breaches, right? They've lost that trust, right? And trust is one of the things that is very hard to build up.
Yeah, that is a really powerful statement. Like, we've heard about this before, the idea that you could take 10 years to build up trust and it takes one moment to, like, you think about these poor CloudStrike people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you reboot the entire world and shut down all the airplanes, it's going to be a problem to get that back.
We did a postmortem on the CrowdStrike thing, and I'm like, so many things could have been done to prevent this, but I don't know what happened. I'm just assuming it was just one of those days, but unfortunately for them, it affected the entire world.
Right? Yeah, so indeed. So when you get in the security business, though, do you feel risky? Like, what happens if Onboard Base, a secure log, misses a thing? You're almost asking for it, because when you step into a secure ops environment, you have to get it right.
Yeah.
You have to red team your own stuff.
Yeah. So before we push code to development, it goes through rigorous testing, like proper security testing. Like a product or a feature could be done in 1 week or a couple of days, but it needs to go through security checks for a whole week before we push that out, right? Mm. The only part we might say does not go through rigorous security check is the marketing website, right? Those you can easily bounce off a couple of things because they are not customer facing, right? Let me put it that way. So, but the main product itself needs to go through proper security checks. It needs to be actively tested. So we have automated testing, but we still manually test almost every feature in Onboard Base. And the good thing is we actively use it ourselves. So it's way, way, way easier for us, right? Yeah. I don't start any project without using Onboard Base. It's insane how fast it is, personally. Sometimes I'm like, how did we make this thing so fast? But I remember something I keep saying to myself, the one thing you can always control is friction. And so every day we try to remove as much friction as possible from the product. And removing friction makes it less complicated and makes it way more secure than.
That is a very, very empathetic, very customer focused way of thinking things, right? Like, okay, this took 9 clicks. How can I take 8? You know, this took this many keystrokes. This felt weird when I did that. How can I make that not feel weird? A frictionless onboarding experience, a frictionless sign-up experience. That's a lot of work.
It is. When you go back to Audacity, I believe Onboard Base feels like it's a piece of me, right? And you nurture that piece, you take care of that piece, and you want the very best for that piece. So, the best products out there are love letters from the founders, because they've taken so well care of those products themselves. And that's how I see Onboard Base personally.
That's awesome. So when folks want to sign up for this, they go to onboardbase.com, they hit sign up. And how quickly is it going to take to get this going?
5 minutes or less, depending on your setup, really 5 minutes or less. You sign up, you add your keys, you install the CLI, and you're really good to go. So 5 minutes or less. And if you're pro, 2 minutes.
And then the quick start I thought was very surprising. You actually have this really cool quick start, which I thought was quite clever. You just go to Onboard Base and hit quick start. You actually have people pasting in example key values and you know, you're not literally asking them to give you their secrets, but you're trying to show them how convenient it is. And I thought that was quite clever.
Yeah. So one thing I try to incorporate into products or every product I build is a live demo. Mm-hmm. Every product I build has a live demo because I want you to be able to test it out almost immediately and see the value real time, right? And that particular thing brings us so much customers, even though some of them might not stay, but it gets people really, really interested in being able to try it out almost immediately. So it was a clever one from us.
That is quite clever. So folks can go to Onboard Base, click sign up, try it out, or just, you know, go and take a look at the docs. Right on the front page there, you've got try it. You can see immediately how quickly you can get set up. I thought it was really clever. You and I met each other at, I want to say, we were at a React event. Was
Epic
it Kent Dodds? Was it no, Epic Web Dev? Kent Dodds event.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. And I'm glad that we finally got to chat and put together a show. And thanks for sharing your startup with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great.
We've been chatting with Dante Lex. You can check out onboardbase.com and their product, securelog.com. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.